So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22. Palimara surrenders his life, text number 33. Indrasena Maharaja Yahibo Bhadramastute Sutalam Saragibi Pratyam Gyatibi Parivart Ritaha Indrasena. O Maharaj Bali. We'll try Bali. Maharaj, O King, Yahi, better go. Bo, O King, Bhadram, all auspiciousness. Astu, let there be. Te, unto you. Sutalam, in the planet known as Sutala. Swargibi, by the demigods. Pratyam, desirable. Yativi, by your family members. Parivaritaha, surrounded. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Bali Maharaj, Indrasena, now you may go to the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives, all good fortune unto you. Prabhupada Bali Maharaj was transferred from the heavenly planet to the planet Sutala, which is hundreds of times better than heaven, as indicated by the words Swargibi Pratyam. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead deprives his devotee of material opulences, this does not mean that the Lord puts him into poverty. Rather, the Lord promotes him to a higher position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not ask Bali Maharaj to separate from his family. Instead, the Lord allowed him to stay with his family members. Gyati vi parivaritaha. Text 34, till the end of the chapter. On the planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of the other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. O great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection, all respects, along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there. Because there you will see my supreme prowess, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Danavas will immediately be vanquished. Purport, the Lord assured Bali Maharaj of all protection. Finally, the Lord assured him of protection from the effects of bad association with the demons. Bali Maharaj certainly became an exalted devotee, but he was somewhat anxious because his association was not purely devotional. Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore assured him that his demoniac mentality would be annihilated. In other words, by the association of devotees, the demoniac mentality is vanquished. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti rikarna rasayanam kata. When a demon associates with devotees engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gradually becomes a pure devotee. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled, Bali Maharaj Surrenders His Life. Satsanga tyage vaishnavachara, stri sangi ekabhakta krishna bhakta ara. Ekasadu krishna bhakta ara. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the qualifications of one to be who's a devotee? What does it mean to be a devotee? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a satsanga tyag, a vaishnavachara, that a vaishnava is one who gives up satsanga, the association of those who are not interested or aware of the eternality, the reality of eternity. And who are those people in general? Asat Sangha Tyag, Evaishnava, Sri Sanghi. Sri Sanghi are those who are interested in sense gratification. Whether it be a man or a woman or who knows what's going on nowadays. Sri Sanghi, Eka Bhakta, one who's not a Bhakta, one who's not a devotee of Krishna. Eka Sadhu, one who's not following the regular principles of getting out of material entanglement. Sri Sanghi, Eka Sadhu, Krishna Bhaktar, one who's not a devotee of Krishna. So who does that leave? Well, right now, probably in Slovenia, it leaves maybe half a dozen people. Maybe there's a dozen or two dozen. But practically everyone is simply interested in their sense gratification, gross or subtle. There might be some people in the mode of goodness, some people in the mode of passion, some people in the mode of ignorance, but basically speaking, people are just interested in their gross and subtle material bodies. It may be a nice body, it may be a friendly body, just like Prabhupada gives the example, that in the jungle, there are many animals. Some of them are like the tiger in the mode of passion and ignorance. The other animals, and even the human beings, may not consider him a very nice animal. He's not a vegetarian. He eats children. Not a nice animal. Some may be in the mode of ignorance. As a matter of fact, they're all in the mode of ignorance. So they do little harm. They just eat some grass or something. So we may think, well, this is a nice animal. He's not doing any harm. He's just trying to live by himself and with his family and do the best he can to enjoy his limited life. And some may be in the mode of goodness, the cow, or maybe the deer we may consider in the mode of goodness, Bambi. How sweet. Such a nice little deer. Ooh, I love the deer. But they're all animals. They're not anything but animals. Even Bambi was an animal. Although they may try to make him up to the level of having some kind of higher consciousness than an animal. But they're all animals. Similarly, modern society, where people are only interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, for the most part, they have the mentality of an animal, although some of them may be somewhat religious in some respect. Although they may not follow the regular principles, they may be killing animals, etc. But still they have some idea that they want their material sense gratification to be fulfilled by God, whoever there may be God, whoever they conceive of God is. So they're a little bit better. They're at least not completely on the level of animals, although for the most part they're also on the level of animals. Just like for ourselves, we're trying to get some transcendental knowledge, but we also have bad association. Just as these people are acting as quasi-animals because of bad association, because from the beginning of life they've been trained up like that. Their parents, their educators, their friends, their textbooks in school, the television programs they watch, they're all coming from people in ignorance and maybe a little passion, and there may have been a tinge somewhere or another of goodness somewhere. And therefore they've been trained up to become demons, asuras or rakshasas, whatever you may call them. And some of them are nicer rakshasas and asuras than others. But by bad association, that's what they came up with. That's the mentality that they possess. And similarly, probably none of us were born in a family of pure devotee. From the beginning of life, all we heard is Krishna Katha to Krishna Prasadam. Never watched television, never went to the movies, only associated with pure devotees. And that's why we're such elevated great souls right now. No, from the beginning of life, we've been trained up also to become just like everyone else, but somehow or another, some spark of awareness came into being that we're not this body, that we're actually souls. and that there is a God. Now, most people are just aware of the fact nowadays that actually they're being cheated by the big cheaters. Of course, they're also cheaters because they're in their ignorance. They're cheating themselves and they're cheating others. They're also engaged in sinful activities. But they're just become, some people are becoming a little aware. They're being forced by the bigger cheaters into things that they don't want to do. And that the bigger cheaters are not in love with them. They're not their friends. So this is called knowledge. Nowadays, this is called awakening by some people. Other people think that if you fall deeper and deeper into ignorance, that's their awakening. But after all, it's all bad association. It has nothing to do with Krishna, practically speaking. It has nothing to do with pure devotional service. You can find out exactly who's the head of the Illuminati, but you won't be illuminated. You'll still be in ignorance. To find out who the biggest demon is not a very big qualification for spiritual advancement. You may research it. You may hear from the other researchers who is the biggest demons. So what? There are demons, they're placed there by Krishna's arrangement just so they can torture the people who deserve to be tortured. And if that's, we're not Krishna conscious, we'll be amongst them. Therefore, satsanga tyag e vaishnava char, one should try to avoid bad association. And the common bad association is all pervasive in terms of our smartphones, the internet, all the conspiracy theories that go around, everything, it's all bad association. Of course, it's good to know if you get some information and they just sent an atomic bomb over Ljubljana. It's good to have a little information. But that's probably the extent of it. On the other hand, because we're living in the materialistic society, some amount of knowledge should be there, but it should also be seen in Krishna's service. We can't live in our own little worlds. We could try to the best of our ability. As a matter of fact, when we really get down to it, most of the things we're finding out has no value in our practical lives. So we can, for the most part, live in our little worlds and actually make some advancement and actually make some change in the world. If we really want to make things better, then we have to change our consciousness. We have to have good association. If not, then we'll go down. Even we get the best materialistic association, it's not going to elevate us to Krishna consciousness. It'll pull us away from Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the more we can hear about Krishna, the more we can serve Krishna, the more we can tell people about Krishna, then the more we'll be able to do good for ourselves and to others. And whatever the conspiracies are, and there are so many conspiracies, and of course some of them we should know. We should know, for instance, the Vedic knowledge, so we understand what health is, so we don't fall into the trap of thinking that something is going to make us healthy, which will actually poison us. So we should have Vedic knowledge, but that will come naturally by association with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, and with his pure devotees. Otherwise, we can find that in Kamsa, he was had a plan, he was killing all his nephews. Not exactly the person in the mode of goodness, of course, probably considered normal nowadays. Just had had a bad day and decided to kill a few people. Nothing extraordinary. In any case, he had heard that the eighth son of Devaki was going to kill him. So he was already a demon, so he decided, well, all right, let me kill Devaki first. And when he was aware that if he killed Devaki, his reputation would get would be tarnished. And even the demons want some false prestige. They want people to respect them. So, not due to love of Devaki or any higher sentiment, simply to protect his false ego, He refrained from killing Devaki. Even after hearing from Vasudev about the sciences of the eternality of the soul, Kanksa already knew about that. He couldn't care less. What he cared about is his false ego and his sense gratification. So he refrained when Vasudev said, I'll give you all of my children. You can kill them one after another if you want. So Kanksa said, yeah, I like to kill kids anyhow, so it keep me busy. So then Narada came and told him that actually beware, any one of these children could be Vishnu, he could be coming to kill you. So then he started to kill the children one after another. And his relatives, because he had all the demigods had been born, and Krishna had asked the demigods, when Krishna went to the shore of the ocean of milk, when Brahma and the demigods went to the shore of the ocean of milk and prayed to Vishnu, Vishnu responded by telling them to take birth in the family of the Yadu and the Vrishni, different dynasties, to help him in his pastime. So they all took birth, and Kanksa, he was born to the family of Ugrasena, which was a pious family. Because Pamavati was Ugrasena's wife. She had left Ugrasena. She had gone somewhere else to associate with her parents or something, and she got into difficulty because one demon became enamored with her, and he took the form of Ugrasena, and due to their union, Kanksa was born. So Kanksa was not really born into he was partially born into the pious family of the Yadus, but actually he was a demon. His father was an Asura. But he was surrounded by devotees, demigods who had taken their birth. So they came to him one after another telling Kanksa, please don't kill your nephews. It's not very good for our reputation. It's not very nice to kill your nephews. But he didn't listen to any of them. As a matter of fact, due to his bad association, some of the Vrishnis got contaminated. Some of the Yadus became contaminated. Like Kritavarma. Kritavarma was a great devotee of Krishna. But due to association with Kanksa, just like Akura also associated with Kanksa, they became somewhat contaminated, although they were great devotees. Somehow or another, in some way contaminated. And therefore, Kritavarma and Akura took part in the trying to steal the Shyamantaka jewel. Now, of course, they had devotional desires, reasons for doing it, because they thought that Krishna, he actually wanted to give the jewel to Ugrasena, but Shatrujit didn't do it. So for the best of motives, they had to join a sinful conspiracy. And Acharya said, is this because of the bad association? They didn't really, in one sense, become contaminated by Kanksa's association, but they got into difficulty because of it. Similarly, even the greatest devotees still find them, if by bad association we make the bad choices, listening to the demons will also get affected by it. And our minds will become agitated. You know, this demon's bad, but the other one's good. Wet stool and dry stool. Prabhupada gives the example. In India, people pass stool in the fields. And there's a controversy going on. Back then, there weren't so many conspiracy theories. So they had to talk about something. So there would be massive debates about what's better, wet stool or dry stool. Because when you pass stool on the fields, the sun will bake the stool, so half of it will be baked and half of it will still be wet. So which is better, the wet stool or the dry stool? But the subject matter is stool. Doesn't matter whether it's wet or dry. You know what stool is? Do you understand that? It's what comes out after you eat. So, it's all the subject matter is the same. Whether one is correct or the other is correct, it makes no difference. It's not a very important subject matter. But Krishna consciousness, if we see things in Krishna consciousness, then some of the knowledge may be significant, may help in our devotional service as much as possible. Just like Prabhupada used to hear the news, and he told the devotees to write to the newspapers, you know, because you could always send in the comment section, something about Krishna consciousness. Write some article on how to see this in Krishna consciousness. So we're seeing the world around us, but we should see it in Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't see it from the point of view of the demons. We should see it from the point of view of the pure devotees, from Krishna's point of view. And then our being able to work in the material world would be fruitful. And we'll be able to avoid the ignorant philosophy and practicality of how people see the world nowadays. And we'll be able to make better decisions in our own life and not get entangled in following a blind person, andaya tandira upagiyamanas, te pisha tantra urudami bada. Because present people are speaking, they're all blind. Although they're trying to encourage people to follow them, but they're blind. They don't know about the eternality of the soul. They don't know about karma. They don't know about reincarnation. They don't know about how he's organizing everything in this world and for what purpose. Nitevidu Swarkatim Hi Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna. Therefore, Dirashaya Bahir Artamanina. Therefore, they're taking something is important because they're hearing from people who don't know what's important and what's not important. And they're following blind leaders, and therefore the result is both of them, the blind and the blind followers, they'll all find out, they'll all be stuck in the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advises, Naishamatis Tava Urukramangrim Sprisha Inarto Bhagavan Namarto Mahiyasham Padaru Javid Shekam Niskinchananam Navnavrititadvat. Prahlad Maharaj said, just take shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has no other desire than to serve Krishna. Naisham Matis Tavar Urukramangrim, who has a big step, who covers the whole universe, who pervades everything. Sprisha Yanarto Bhagavan. And touch the lotus feet means to actually be interested in hearing, understanding, applying with one's life in service. One who is niskinchananam, who has no other desire than to serve Krishna. Mahiyasam padaru devishekam niskinchananam navariniti yadva. Then one can actually do something good for oneself and for others. Otherwise, shravam evahi kevalam, otherwise we'll just be wasting our time here. And Maya is presenting a whole world full of people talking nonsense. Some more intelligent nonsense, and some people less intelligent nonsense, but because it's not really aware of ourselves as a soul, what we're supposed to be doing here, therefore, in one sense, it doesn't make really much sense. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
How can we know that when we go outside, out of the association of devotees, and we want to do something about Krishna consciousness, how can we know for sure that we go alone and we will not be affected?
Oh, you will be affected. How is it possible not to be affected? We're already affected. All we do is have to ask ourselves right now, to what extent do I identify myself with this body or the mind? This is the accumulation of our association, probably since time immemorial. We're already affected. The question is whether we're going to, just like if you have a fever, and you go and you take your temperature, it's 105, and at least Fahrenheit, I don't know, it was centigrade. And then you find out it got to 106, then you think I'm getting sick. But you already have a fever.
Yeah,
unless we reduce the fever by proper, proper activity, then we're already sick. We can't say now I've gotten sick by, it went from 105 to 106. No, it means I'm almost dead, that's all. I'm getting close to death. So we go outside, we should understand we're already contaminated. So unless we're chanting 24 hours a day and serving Krishna 24 hours a day, then we'll become affected by bad association. Well, if you follow his instructions, just having a spiritual master doesn't mean anything. It's the process of submissive hearing and service. So unless we're always hearing from the spiritual master, rendering service to him, then we're influenced by Maya. It's not a question. Now I got my spiritual master, I'm not affected. Of course we're already affected. Even when we take the spiritual master, we're still in the material concepts of life. We're just trying to, taking a spiritual master means to become free, to accept that I'm actually servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And unless I actually become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then initiation has no meaning. Not becoming the servant of the servant of, not learning how to do that, then has no meaning. Now, unless I'm learning the science of Krishna consciousness, unless I'm making progress in that, then accepting the spiritual master doesn't really have the value it's supposed to have. We accept ourselves as a servant of my spiritual master, and he teaches us how to become a better servant of Krishna and all the other devotees too. All the time, not just when we're in the temple. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what role does developing a good character play in devotional service? Is it a source, prerequisite, or consequence?
It's both, but good character means be a pure devotee of Krishna. That's good character. Everything else is not such good character. It's yasti bhakti or bhagavata kinchana savara gunas tattva samasite sura harava bhaktasi kato mahama gunan manorate nasati davato bahi. That if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, is engaged in devotional service, then naturally he'll get all the good qualities of the demigods. And if one is not engaged in devotional service, then he's simply hovering on the mental platform, thinking this is good and that's bad. And he sure to fall into, he's already in material consciousness. So good qualities are only, ultimately good qualities are only really obtained and sustained by being Krishna consciousness. Because the soul, and Krishna has all good qualities, and the soul, when he's in contact with Krishna, awakens his good qualities again. Otherwise he'll be subjected, his desires will be subjected to material desires and he'll manifest all bad qualities. That's it?
One more question. Okay. Is a Brahmana by nature more interested in the information of the greater world than, for instance, a Shudra?
Not necessarily. Brahman knows what... Brahman means Brahmanyatiti Brahmanaha. He sees everyone and everything in relation to Brahman. He doesn't, therefore he's not interested in what's going on in the material world so much. All these details. Who killed what, who ate what, etc. He's not, but the Shudras are.
I like how you explained this. It's not so important to know exactly who is in the head of the Krishna. Because basically we know it's Kali.
Yeah, and Kali's been appointed by Krishna to distribute the sinful reactions to all the sinful people. So the only solution is to know is Krishna, otherwise it's all useless.
And I think it's Sankali Upanishad, I don't exactly remember, it described Kali as a fallen Gandharva who fell from the highest worlds to the earth because he was so angry or against demigods because he couldn't get one earthly lady. They made some arrangement that like some other king got that lady, and he became so angry and so frustrated that he became Kali personified. And the interesting thing for me is that also in the Bible it is said that Lucifer was the
one of the fallen angels. Great. It's one of those Gandharvas. Khala Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.